Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 and 3 John. A little phrase jumped out at me at the end of 2 John, and I'm still not finished with the doctrine of Christ. We'll go back there maybe tonight or Wednesday night. I'm not sure how the Lord will lead on that. But I have a message in my heart this morning, mainly out of the book of 3 John. But I want to pick up the thought in the end of 2 John. These are very short epistles. Of course, 1 John has 5 chapters. 2 John just has 13 verses. And then 3 John has 14 verses. They're not very long, but they're very powerful. You know, I believe one of the most powerful prayers in Scripture was just 3 words. Peter was sinking, and he said, "Lord, save me." It doesn't take a lot of words sometimes to get across a powerful, powerful message. My dad could say, "Son, stop." Yeah. 2 words. Amen. I promise you it was a powerful message. Amen. And Miss Eve, she prides herself in that she didn't have to say anything. She just had a look. All she'd have to do is look across the bench. And the fear, it wasn't of God. They didn't know him yet. But the fear of Mama rose up in their hearts. Amen. Thank you once again for being here. Let's start reading in verse number 12. I don't know why. I've never picked up on this before. But I hope it'll be a blessing to you. And I hope the message will be received in the spirit that it's given. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face. What are those next words? That our joy may be full. Turn back to 1 John, please, chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Never picked up on this before. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 4. John said, "In these things write we unto you that," say those words. Okay. In 1 John, when John starts out, he's concerned with the joy of others, your joy. But that's not the phrase he uses, Brother Steve, in the end of 2 John there. He says, our joy. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you want your pastor to have joy? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." There's not a pastor that's worth his salt that takes really pleasure in reading this verse. But it's in the Bible. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account." Did you all know I'm going to give an account one day? Boy, if there's nothing else in this world to cause you to pray for me. Amen. Brother Grizzle, I hadn't been pastor here long, and you said something to me. I don't remember exactly what you said, but said, "Pastor, we're going to stand before the judgment seat." You said, "I'm not looking forward to it." Ain't that close to what you said to me, brother? We're going to give an account. Every individual is going to give an account. And the Bible said here that the pastor, and we know this is Pastor John over here that we're reading from, is they must give an account that they may do it with, what's that next word? And not with, what's that next word? For that is unprofitable. The Bible didn't say for him, but said for you. In other words, if a pastor has to stand with a heavy heart, grieved, then that's unprofitable. That's what John, Pastor John, is saying. That's what the writer in the book of Hebrews, we believe it was Paul, is saying. So what I want to do is go into 3 John and look at these things here that John said, I want to come and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Let's begin and pick up in verse number 1 of 3 John, the third epistle of John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, he said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. Some have taken that verse and built a whole ministry on it, a whole doctrine. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John uses that phrase, remember, over and over, my little children. Beloved, he said, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. I want to preach for a little while this morning on the subject that our joy may be full. Pray with me, would you please? Father, thank you this morning. Thank you this morning, Lord, for the message. Thank you for the messenger, the Holy Spirit. Without him, Lord, we would have no idea this morning whether or not we were standing here in your will with your word, delivering your message for this hour. But Lord, because of him, we can know the truth and know, Lord, exactly what you would have us to say. I pray, dear Father, this morning, now that my flesh would not get in the way. I pray, our Father, that our flesh as a congregation would not get in the way, but that he, the Holy Spirit of the living God, would have his way in every heart and every life. Lord, it's that time of year when we celebrate. We celebrate the fact that Jesus came down. Thank you, Lord, for coming down. So that we could go up. So that we don't have to go down into the pit of hell when we breathe our last breath. You've given your life that we may have life and have it eternal. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. That our joy may be full. Let's get right into the message this morning and look at some things here that should cause our joy to be full. The first thing is God's Word. The Bible said, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. In one place Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. I believe there ought to be a desire in every child of God's heart to live their life according to this book that we have in front of us this morning, according to the truth. I believe with all of my heart that when Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus had given an answer in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a generation that is believing a lie. That lie is that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Beloved, I'm going to tell you, this book is absolute truth. Amen? There's no other way to heaven. Jesus shed his blood on an old rugged cross. The song the trio will be doing after a while, and we'll be playing it through the parade, the Lord willing. And it's God's first Christmas tree. I never heard that till I came to Bible Way, Brother Ralph. I never shall forget hearing those words. I'll tell you how it blessed me and how it blesses me again. My son had never heard the psalm, so I pulled it up on the phone the other day and played it for him. Oh, thank God. Amen. We're going to be in the parade, and God willing, there's going to be a cross out in the front. Amen. I didn't think about this till this morning, but everybody that participates, Brother John, will be behind the cross. Can I tell you, that's the way we ought to be. Amen. Behind the cross. Amen. The cross is God's first Christmas tree. I tell you, thank God for his gift, the gift of God, eternal life. You find all these things in the Word. He died for our sin. He rose again the third day. Amen. He's coming again. And that's the Word of God. And beloved, listen, only those who are ready are going to go and meet him in the air. It's a good word. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that's one of the things that caused John, his heart, to be full of joy. And when he got up before his congregation, he would give them the Word of God, and it caused their hearts to be full of joy. And I believe if anything in this world ought to cause us, beloved, listen, to have joy, it ought to be God's Word. The second thing I see is not only a good Word, but I see a good will. The Bible said in verse number 2, John said, beloved, he's writing to his well-beloved Gaius. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I can stand before a God that knows my heart and tell you that there's not one person on the face of this planet that I don't wish them goodwill. Amen. That they would prosper and be in good health. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you say, well, Pastor, don't you have any enemies? I've read the Bible. If I do have enemies, I can wish them goodwill as well. Amen. And wish that they would prosper and be in good health. I read about a Savior that hung on a cross. Those that spit on him were there. Those that beat him were there. Those that pulled the crown of thorns down him in there. Those that took the hammer and drove the nails were there. Those that were gambling for his garments were there when he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, beloved friend, it's goodwill. It's goodwill. You don't take that, Brother Steve, one verse and build a health and wealth gospel on it and tell people that if you love God, you won't be sick. And if you love God, your cupboards will be full and you'll drive a fine car. I'm telling you, that's not rightly dividing the word of truth. Here's a man that's writing to his friend and he's letting him know, my will for you, I wish you goodwill in this walk of life. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. By the way, some of the most precious saints of God, Brother Mike, you remember Sister Litzy, some of the most precious saints of God I've ever met in this world. Now listen, I'm not trying to be gross, but my daddy had a saying. He'd say, son, they didn't have a pot to pee in. I'm not trying to be gross, but I'm just trying to tell you, that was a way of daddy saying they were poor. Others would say maybe poor as Job's turkey. I don't know how poor Job's turkey was, amen. But anyway, poor people, not because they didn't love God, not because they love God. Listen, when you read the story of the rich man and Abraham and Lazarus, Lazarus was a beggar and he was in heaven. Abraham was a rich man and he was in heaven. Amen. God's not looking at our substance. He's looking at our heart. Amen. It's what we do with Jesus, a good will. But then I see a good work that caused their joy to be full. He said, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth.
Look at this walk here. There's a good word, there's a good will, and there's a good walk. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I don't know how long I'd been here. Hadn't been here too long. And I don't even remember the details other than somebody found an NIV Bible in a pew. Asked me what to do with it. I said, get rid of it. And I said, if you can't find it in your heart to get rid of it, give it to me. I have no problem whatsoever getting rid of it. I'll make sure that I don't even leave it in a trash can where somebody might get it out of the trash can. Thank God for people that understand that the Bible doesn't change and we're not getting a new one every month. But the Word of God is forever settled in heaven, and God preserved His Word for the English-speaking people in the King James Bible. And thank God for people that want to walk in that truth. It's not about changing the Word. It's about the Word changing us. The Word's not broken. It doesn't need to be fixed. But as Brother John said at Sunday school, and I said amen, we're still broken vessels. There's still some work to be done in our lives. Thank God for that good walk, walking in truth. John said, I have no greater joy. You take a father. Brother David and his children are walking in truth. There's no greater joy. But a child that's not walking in truth will grieve a father's heart. It grieves a father's heart. And I know both sides of that coin, amen? And just because you have three trying to do the right thing and one that's not, the three don't make up for the one. The heart is still grieved. And you can have 100 people in a congregation that's walking in truth, but if there's one that's not, the heart is still grieved. The Bible said that Jesus would leave the 99, go out yonder and find that one. That one. There's a good word. There's a good will. There's a good walk. But I want to give you this today, trusting God will use it and bless it. And that is a good way. Watch what the Word of God said here. I'm going to pull my phone out for just a moment because I need to use it for, Brother John, you said a definition. I didn't even spell it right, Brother John. I thought the word report, which is R-A-P-P-O-R-T, I thought you spelled that R-E-P-O-R-E. That's how I wrote it down, brother. Amen. I've heard the word all my life. But there's a good way here. There's two things going on in the text about this man, Gaius. Number one, he has a good report, or rapport, R-A-P-P-O-R-T. I don't think you say the T, do you? Nod at me, English teacher, amen. He has a good rapport. Okay, well, what does that mean, preacher? What does that word rapport mean? Well, it means a close and harmonious relationship in which the people or groups concerned understand each other's feelings or ideals and communicate well. That's what it means to have a good rapport. You say, preacher, can you prove that in the Bible? Let's read it. See what you think. Look at verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever things thou doest to the brethren. Brother Steve, it didn't stop there. He said, and the strangers. It said, which have borne witness of thy charity. In other words, he wasn't running around telling everybody, I love God. Others are saying, right yonder's a man that loves God. They have borne witness of his charity, how that he loved the brethren and how that he loved the strangers just as well. I had two young men walk in this morning. I thought they were strangers. One of them's name was Luke. One of them's name was David. And I found out I used to pastor them when I was about that tall. You remember Stephen Caldwell, Brother Mike? Two of his boys, his and Mary boys, they ain't boys no more. Matter of fact, if y'all want to fight, I'm getting them on my side. They're big enough to fight. Amen? Amen. Now watch this. The Word of God said here, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I think it's wonderful. You find a man here with a good rapport that's walking in the good way. Don't you think that's wonderful? I hope when y'all put me in one of them boxes about 6 foot long and roll me down here that I'll leave a good rapport. That it'll be said he loved his family. He loved his Savior. He loved his church. You say, preacher, you got a goal like that? Can you think of a better one? I said, can you think of a better one? He loved his children, but he loved my children. He loved the church children. He loved all the children. Because as far as I'm concerned, it don't matter which vehicle you got here in, you're still the church children. Y'all will get that after a while. If you walked. I walked to church this morning. Pray for me. That's an inside joke, amen. Some of you don't know about the apartment back on the back of the property. A good rapport. Am I saying it right now, Miss Steve? But not only that, Brother Steve, he had a good report. Now, I didn't get many of them when I was in school. When I was in school, I was an average student. You say, why were you an average student? Because C's tickled me to death. Everybody can't be smart like Coulter and Steve. Some of us just have to be average, amen. But the Bible said in verse number 11, look at this with me. It said, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report. That's pretty good. But look at that next phrase. Of all men. That's real good. He lived in such a way, Brother Ralph. You know, some people, the only time that nobody will say anything negative about them is after they die. You know, you don't get people coming by the casket saying, he was sorry. Am I right or am I wrong? Everybody turns into a saint as soon as they quit breathing. But the Bible said Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. And John said, I want to remind you of something. We know that our record is true. John said, I'm not pulling your chain. I'm talking about a man that's got a good report. You say, preacher, you mentioned a while ago that the pastor could have joy, and that's what John's got when he's talking about Gaius, when he's talking about Demetrius. But the pastor can also have grief. Look in verse number 9. John said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Now John writes over here in the end of 2 John that our joy may be full. You're looking at a man in verse number 9 and verse number 10. Listen to me carefully. Diotrephes, who's full of himself. He's full of pride. Beloved, I'm going to read some things to you this morning. I think it'll be a help. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Someone said, pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick except the man who has it. How many believes pride makes our Savior sick? Listen to what the Word of God said, beloved. I wrote unto you, unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, among them receiveth us not. Someone said God wisely designed the human body so that we can neither pat our own backs nor kick ourselves too easily. Brother Steve, I know you can't kick yourself right now. Amen. So Sister Cindy, please help me. Amen. But my shoulders are bad, and it's the truth. It's hard. It's hard for me to get back there. And some of these youngins are like gumbo. You remember the little toy? Was it gumbo? Gumby. One letter. Amen. You know that little toy, you could bend it around, flex it around. Brother Steve would like to have an E like Gumby right now. Oh, he's, maybe not. He's got one like that. It won't hold. Amen. The Diotrephes is full of pride, full of arrogance. It grieves the heart of John. I read this, and evidently this fellow's got a little Spanish blood in him or Mexican blood. Polly, he said, this bull has killed me. So said Jose Cabrero, one of Spain's most brilliant matadors, before he lost consciousness and died. Only 21 years old, he had been enjoying a spectacular career. However, in this 1958 bullfight, a year before I come in the world, Jose made a tragic mistake. He thrust his sword a final time into a bleeding, delirious bull, which then collapsed. Considering the struggle finished, Jose turned to the crowd to acknowledge their applause. The bull, however, was not dead. It rose and lunged at the unsuspecting matador, its horn piercing his back and puncturing his heart. Craig Brian Larson said this. He said, just when we think we have finished off pride, just when we turn to accept the congratulations of the crowd, pride stabs us in the back. We should never consider pride dead before we are. I don't believe there's an individual sitting on a pew or standing in this pulpit that does not still fight a battle with pride. Here's a man in the Word of God that's full of pride. I read this. It's the Christmas season. Is there anybody in the church today that's a salesperson? Anybody? I'm going to help you if you are. Anybody? I'm not going to pick on you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you something that will help you with your sales. Did you hear about the clever salesman who closed hundreds of sales with this line? He said, let me show you something that several of your neighbors said you couldn't afford. That's pretty good, ain't it? Mankind, our problem started in the garden when old Slewfoot come along and convinced Eve that she was missing out on something, that if she'd just go ahead and take of what God told her not to take of, by the way, it's still going on today. If young people make it to the marriage altar pure, it's by the grace of God. Because this world and everything in this world is trying to convince them that they're missing out on something. I'm going to tell you what premarital sex will do to cause you to miss out on God's best. Say amen. I told Eve, if you'll just eat of it, you'll just be like God. She ate of it. She gave it to her husband with her. And we've been fighting a battle with pride ever since. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. What was the problem, preacher? Several of them. Number one, he loved having first place. Number two, he rejected the truth. When John said he receiveth us not, he's saying what I write, he won't take it. He won't take the truth. He said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Let me say this. He was critical of leadership. Is that right or is that wrong? He was critical of John. He rejected spiritual authority. And he did not do good. Gaius and Demetrius both had a good rapport, and they both had a good report. Here's a man that had a bad rapport and a bad report. How'd you like to die having a record written about you like was just written about Diotrephes? That'd be sad. Or like was written about Cain. Or like was written about Judas. How sad. How sad. I don't know about you, but I don't think it's a rocket scientist or takes a rocket scientist to know that I'd much rather have a rapport and a report that's in the good way, the good walk, the good will, and the good word of God. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you, Lord, for John, the pastor's heart in John, the one, Lord, that leaned upon your bosom, the one, Lord, that wouldn't even mention his own name. He'd say that other disciple. Oh, God, help me to be that other disciple. He'd say that one that Jesus loved. Lord, help us as we go into the Christmas season not to have pride and refuse to do what we know that we ought to do. Help us to be humble. Help us, Lord. Help us in the Word. Help us with goodwill. Help us to walk the good walk and fight the good fight of faith. Help us in the good way. Lord, I know that someone has to lead a church, and I understand that. I accept that. But God, may that never, never ever happen that myself or anyone else in our church would come to the place where we think we have to have the preeminence. May Jesus always be the one that's high and holy and lifted up, Lord, that you might have the preeminence among us. Lord, you're the only one that's worthy. I pray, dear Father, today that you would take now the truth of thy word. Help us, our Lord. The words you put into my heart, Lord, on Thanksgiving Day, to love one another, to forgive one another, and Lord, to exhort one another, because Lord, the day is coming. You said even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Help us, our Father.